Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Erica here. If this is your first time listening in, I am the blogger and podcaster behind Bring Your Own Kombucha, and I talk about all things health and wellness, and we tap into a little bit of what we'd like to call woo-woo stuff as well. Today is Mother's Day, and today's guest that I interviewed is Ambie of Alchemy with Ambie, and she just made her pregnancy announcement over the weekend. So that was really exciting. Congratulations, Ambie. And I've been having a wonderful weekend. We went on a picnic yesterday because the weather today is just rainy and gloomy. So we went on a picnic and we ordered food for our picnic because obviously Elizabeth is a little young to be packing the lunch. And we blew bubbles and played in the park, and it was just a really fun day. And then today, I woke up to breakfast and a wonderful card. We have like this little tradition with Elizabeth where every time it's a holiday, so my husband's birthday, my father-in-law's birthday, Valentine's Day, we always trace her hand in the card as her signature. So, I don't know. I like the little things, and to me, I'm very sentimental. I'm all about the card, and I think it's going to be fun to see her hand grow bigger and bigger on the card every year until she can write her name. So I thought that was really cute, and yeah, I just had a really sweet, mellow, but joy-filled weekend. So that's the update from me on my end, and I actually don't need to introduce this podcast guest because she goes into her introduction and she is phenomenal. I had been playing not phone tag, but like I guess email tag with her for like the past couple months because we just couldn't like get a date, and the universe finally aligned and I was so super excited, and this conversation did not disappoint. So if you're into all things woo-woo and just somebody who is really inspirational and motivational and positive energy, you're going to love Ambie. Okay, that's all I got for you guys right now. Let's jump into today's podcast sponsor and the episode. Thanks for listening, guys. Let's chat about Cassandrinos, which is this episode's podcast sponsor. So Cassandrinos is an amazing family-run company. They sell olive oil, vinegars, and spices. I am a avid lover of their olive oil. They are 100% transparent. Every batch of Cassandrinos olive oil has a chemical analysis performed. Their olives are pressed within 24 hours of harvest and hand-picked. They are quality assured as they are certified organic and certified paleo. And actually, the olive oil comes directly from Greek Kyriniki olive, and it's from tree to bottle, so 100% ultra-premium organic extra virgin olive oil that are harvested in Laconia, Greece. And the oil actually has less than 0.3% oleic acid. I could literally go on and on. So their olive oil is definitely my fave. But I definitely want to also touch on that they have these spices called Balanced Bites. And they have a taco and fajita, a super garlic, a Tex-Mex, a smoky spice. And they're all super reasonably priced and absolutely delicious. If you use the code kombucha, you'll actually save a bit. So that's always wonderful. And last but not least, this is kind of new, but they just started making vinegar. So they have like a red wine vinegar, a habanero, a mixed berry vinaigrette, a white wine, a balsamic, which we all know and love that balsamic on top of like some goat cheese and hummus. So good. Some thick white balsamic vinaigrette. They are so delicious. I highly recommend that you snag some. They range in price from anywhere from like $7.99 to $14.99. So they're definitely worth it. If you have any questions whatsoever, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I am kind of a pro when it comes to Cassandrinos because I'm such a big fan. And don't forget, if you use the code Kombucha, you're not only supporting the podcast, but you're supporting a great family-run company. All right, guys, let's jump in.
Doing this.
Yes, for all those home listening in, me and Ambie have been trying to orchestrate this for many, many, many moons, and it's finally coming together, so we're both super excited.
Yeah, it's like proper cosmic alignment and let nature remember that divine timing actually really is a real thing.
So let's jump in. Would you mind giving everybody a brief background about yourself?
Sure. So I'm English, as you can probably tell from my accent, and I actually was an entertainment lawyer for over a decade in the UK, and I moved over to America off the back of a crazy dream that I had when I came over to LA for a long weekend that told me that I needed to uproot my life and move to Los Angeles, which was very strange because I was just approaching my mid-30s at the time, which is not a time when you want to really transform your life and move 5,000 miles away. But I followed that dream and I moved out to America. I came initially for just a few months for a sabbatical. And then during that sabbatical, I realized that, you know, even though I had this great life back in London, I was an entertainment lawyer, I was an on-air legal expert, owned a beautiful apartment, my family, friends, et cetera, that it wasn't really my true path, and it wasn't really, I wasn't living in alignment with my higher self. And having those few months out from sort of the bubble of my life in London allowed me to really realize that there was something bigger that was calling me. I'd already done a training and certification in life coaching in the UK. I was already very much into astrology and everything self-help, but moving to America allowed me to sort of rebirth my entire life, and I've been here ever since. So yeah, so that's kind of like how I got here. And now I guess I call what I do Alchemy with Ambi, and Alchemy with Ambi was really birthed through my experience of going through this deep transformation at an age and stage of life when we don't really expect that we're going to be having such upheaval and having so many things change in our lives, and we expect to be kind of settled. And all the tools I use to transform myself and my life to get to where I am now, which is a really good sort of space, are tools that I also use to help other people. So I coach people, I mentor people, I do astrology readings, which is my own unique brand of astrology, which is kind of not like traditional astrology, it's more like cosmic coaching. It's like consciousness and coaching based rather than sort of predicting the future. I got into sound healing, which was a big part of me aligning with my true purpose and healing myself. And I do a variety of those different things in Los Angeles, where I live with my husband. So a complete transformation of life, which is definitely alchemy.
I love that. And I also want to point out, so I initially heard you for the first time talking about soul astrology on That's So Retrograde. And now, then, you have your own podcast.
I do indeed. And that's so lovely that you had me on So Retrograde. I think a lot of people who I've connected to in the online world heard me on their podcast. And, you know, I do have a podcast now. It's called Alchemy with Ambi. I know, Erica, you're a listener and a fan, which I love it being when you post about it online. And it was really birthed because I would go on So Retrograde, you know, quite often, a few times a year, to talk about cosmic updates and what was going on in the cosmos. And I realized that people actually wanted to listen and hear my voice. And I felt myself really wanting to talk and share more in between my visits and appearances on their show. And over a year ago, I built up the courage to start my own podcast. And I didn't really have any clue what I was doing, to be completely honest. But I started it, and it's been, you know, it's been sort of 14 months in the making now, and I absolutely love it. I'm completely, you know, I do it twice a month. I do solo episodes. I'm hoping to have more guests on soon. We've had a few guests on. But I basically take what's happening astrologically, and I sort of take a theme of whatever's happening astrologically. It's a new moon or a full moon every month, and then I talk about that in terms of sort of more practical life coaching. So to make it applicable and useful for those people who perhaps don't follow astrology really closely, or aren't astrology members of my membership group, and to give them something to work with, a theme of consciousness at every full moon and every new moon. So I absolutely love it, and yeah, I'm so happy that I'm doing it. Thank you for bringing
them
up. I forgot that.
Of course. No, I really, truly enjoy your episodes. I look forward to them, and I like that at first you said you got the courage to start your podcast, because it really does take a lot of courage to put yourself out there. It's a vulnerable thing to be speaking to an audience and, you know, just really putting yourself out there.
Well, it's the same as you, right? I know you know what it's like, and I like to be quite sort of, you know, honest and visible and transparent about it all, but I'm not the most, you know, for any of us, like you, for me, for any of us to put anything out there, we don't know who's going to listen, we don't know who's going to, you know, respond or how people are going to react to our words. And I think it, when it comes from this, you know, pure place of wanting to share and wanting to help people, it's a really beautiful thing. But it is scary, and it is, you know, anything creative is courageous. You know, it's outside of our comfort zone, and it's totally worth doing, but it's uncomfortable when you're stretching in that way. And I know that, you know, I hope that there's somebody out there who's listening who's got an idea for their own podcast or their own blog or whatever it is, a book, that it gives them the courage to also put the content out there, because there's always an audience for every one of us. You know, that even if I, you know, with me, I just looked at it and went, well, if I reached sort of five people, that's great, you know? It doesn't really matter. I've got to just think that there's some people who are going to benefit from my words and from what I'm putting out there, and I'm doing it for them, you know?
100%. I actually feel like I've been in a little bit of a slump lately. I guess I'll call it that, for Instagram. I feel like I'm not getting as many likes or as much exposure. And I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, I'm getting my message and my truth out to, you know, whoever needs to see it, whether it gets, you know, 10 likes or 100 likes. And that's all that matters.
Well, I absolutely, and you know, it's funny that you say that, because I was just talking about you and my husband last night, because I know we were trying to meet up when I was in New York last year, but you were heavily pregnant and couldn't work out. But I was saying, I'm sure the stars were aligned for us to meet up again, but I was saying how much I admire what you've done and got, because you have such an engaged audience, and you can really tell that through your posts and through, you know, people commenting, and I think it's very real, and I think there's so much value in that, you know, when somebody has a really engaged audience. And I think that for all of us, we can get caught up that are creative and that are putting out content out there. We can get caught up in the likes and the comments and the, you know, the numbers. We get very caught up in the numbers, but we have to remember that we're more than just a number. That somebody, you know, if we are concentrating on the quality of what we're putting out there, the content and the why we're doing this, the other stuff kind of comes organically, and because you reach the right people in the right way. But I think that it's something that I know everybody struggles with a little bit. I've certainly struggled with it in the past. You know, I remember my first podcast episode came out, and it had like 1,500 downloads in 4 or 5 days, which is kind of astonishing considering I had a very small sort of following. But then the second one I put out, which I really, really struggled with, it's just me being really honest now, the second one I just put in, it was around a full moon. I was having a really difficult time at the time, and I really struggled with recording it. I mean, you know, just, I was really nervous, I was really self-conscious, and we put it out, and it had, like, within a week, it had, like, over 200 people listen. And I just, I ordered up to maybe all these people listened to the first episode, and then thought, what a load of rubbish, so only 200 people listened to the second episode. But then I had to kind of, you know, kind of shake myself and say, stop it. If there's 200 people that are listening and benefiting and want more, then you've got to do it for those 200 people, those 10 people, those 5 people. And I think it's something for all of us in this squalorous sort of self-help online world to remember. So, but you're not the only one, Erica.
I love that. I definitely love how vulnerable you are just now, because I totally can appreciate that. And sometimes you feel like you're the only one. You're like, wait, is this only happening to me? But linking that to the cosmos, do you think that there is a good time of year, a good time of month, or good cycle if you want to really, you know, put yourself out there and be vulnerable and for it to be successful? Like, how do you recommend people navigate it from that soul astrology point of view?
Well, that's a really good question, and I do really believe, you know, I don't believe in sort of fear-based astrology, so I steer away and from saying, oh, you shouldn't do this at this time, or you shouldn't do that at that time. Instead, I like to think of it as, oh, there's a more optimal time, and also equally be a good time to launch something, because full moon is the highest point of the lunar cycle, so it's like fullest expression. So yes, full moons can be intense, and people can have the full moon feel, but full moons can also be a time of things coming to sort of celebratory completion or fruition. But adding to that and making it even more sort of adding another layer to that, going a little bit deeper, which is what we do with soul astrology, you know, every month there's something, there's a specific cosmic energy that's going on according to what season we're in. Is it Aries season? You know, we're now moving into Taurus season, or this planet's gone retrograde, or this planet has moved into this zodiac sign, and it brings with it, like, literally themes of consciousness and energies that if we can understand and we know where it's falling in our unique chart, we can look at that and we can apply and work with those energies in a very, very practical way. And that's the essence of soul astrology. It's everything that I've done to create all the changes in my life and to create a lot of, you know, amazing things in my life is working with those cosmic energies, working with the planetary cycles, not just the new moon and the full moon, but in a very practical, grounded, down-to-earth way. So mine isn't sort of this kind of out there, floating, you know, astrology, like all these kind of, like, you know, which is lovely in its own right. Mine's very kind of life coaching based and very like, okay, this is what's happening this month. This is where, you know, you're this sun sign, this rising sign. This is where it's falling in your chart. This is what you can do. These are the challenges that might come up. This is how you can overcome them. And I found that people that are on my programs as soul astrology members have experienced enormous life changes and shifts, just as I have done, which is how I created it, which is how it was birthed in the first place, through following that. So, you know, people don't have to be following my soul astrology in order to do that. But what I would say to people out there who are, this is speaking to or interested in, is notice what's going on. Because you have to remember, as us human beings, I know we're very advanced now with our technology and online world and this, that, and the other, but we have to remember that we are human living on a planet, and that planet is Earth, and Earth has been spinning around the sun for God knows how, you know, since time began, and all these other planets have been having impacts on what have been impacting what goes on Earth. So we know that we feel that with the seasons, right? Like winter comes and it's more of a hibernation, things die, it's a colder time, we tend to go more inwards. Spring comes and things are being birthed again. Summer comes and we feel that warmth and that heat and that fullest expression of life. Fall comes and there's a transition. So too, we can work with the seasons, but also the planet. And honestly, it's life-changing. So I highly recommend, if anyone who's listening who speaks to explore that a bit further and just do it yourself even. You know, for 3 months, work with every new moon, work with every full moon, research, Google, go online and find out what's going on in the cosmos and try to apply it to your own life and work with those themes.
I love your methodology, and I remember reading something on your website that I found was really powerful, and you said something along the lines of, you don't predict, you create, yeah. That we all are creating. Yeah. So I thought that was a really powerful message, because it's not like, you know, you're working with somebody and you're saying, this is what's going to happen. You're saying, no, this is a powerful time, and this is when you can create, and it's when, you know, you should put your energy towards.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the stars impel, but they don't compel. And I think it's giving away your personal power. I think it's dangerous to sort of say, oh my gosh, we all make the jokes and the memes about Mercury retrograde, hello, that's just like par for the course. But I think it's dangerous to sort of say, oh my god, it's a full moon in this, that's going to be bad. Or, oh god, Mercury's going retrograde, things are going to go wrong. No, it's an energy. There are certain energies that are present. If you understand, educate yourself, and are aware through your consciousness, through your awareness, you can co-create with the cosmos. That's the essence of soul astrology. It's the essence of everything I do. And it's about owning your personal power, but understanding there's a greater power that's available, that's bigger than any of us. It's the stars, it's the planets. And saying, okay, I see you, I hear you. Let me work with you for my advantage. That can mean overcoming a challenge, no, or it can mean that there's this amazing cosmic window of opportunity. Let me grab that and run with it.
Absolutely. I mean, everything is energy, like you're saying. And actually, I listened to, I don't know if the episode came out yesterday, but your most recent episode. And it talks,
oh, yes.
Did that come out yesterday?
Yes, the energy vampires.
Yes. So can you talk a little bit about the energy vampires and those type of people around you? And just how you can work through navigating them, because if anybody wants to go listen, it's your most recent episode and you go into full detail, but I think it's really important to note how you can recognize them and how you can navigate them, because a lot of the times, at least in my experience, I feel like they are like family members or people that you surround yourself with on the regular, like a coworker or something like that, that you just, you know, you have to deal with them, but you got to figure it out.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Energy is everything. You hit the next nail on the head, which is that energy vampires are people in our lives. They might be people we love, or they might be people that we like, or they might be people we dislike, but we have to deal with. And so, you know, what is an energy vampire? Well, just as you say that expression, what comes to mind immediately is that vampire, somebody sucking energy from you in some kind of a way, or somebody's energy having a negative or detrimental impact on your own energy, on how you feel, on your personal vibration, mind, body, soul, your emotions, your feelings, right? So you know, as you said, I do go into a lot of detail on it on the podcast, which is the latest episode, but I know that for myself, I'm a very highly sensitive person. I'm an empath. I'm very intuitive, and I feel everything. So, you know, whether that's I'm walking into a room, someone's having an argument, and I will feel that energy that argument. If someone's really aggressive or angry, or if somebody's really sad, I feel that. And that's something that I've had to work through and work on, because it can be really debilitating. But what comes with that is I'm very sensitive to energy, and so, you know, if somebody has a negative energy, or is complaining a lot, or is just like really pessimistic, or is just aggressive in some kind of way, or just really loud, like I'm not the loudest of people, so someone's like super loud and in your face, I can find that discombobulating. Like I can find it unsettling. It makes me feel a little bit like, whoa, that's just like in my face, it's off. And then that can, as a result, that can make me feel a different way than my true, than my actual truth, than my actual energy and my actual vibration. And I think that we know the true energy of a person through how we feel when we connect with them. So when we have a conversation with someone, when we're in someone's presence, do they lift us up? Do we feel good after we've had that exchange? Or do we feel worse or depleted? And listen, what I'm not saying with this is, you know, somebody's got a problem or somebody's sad, that means that they're an energy vampire. I don't mean that at all. But I'm talking about the kind of people that are hard work energetically. You know, it's the kind of person who's maybe complaining. Maybe it's the coworker who's always complaining about their job or always bitching or just like aggressive in some kind of a way or just have like another agenda going on. Or maybe it's a family member who just doesn't respect boundaries or, you know, is really negative or, you know, everything you say or try and do, they just kind of without meaning to even. They might not even necessarily know that they're doing it. They just kind of throw a bucket of cold water over it. You know, we have energy vampires are everywhere. They're in our lives. They're people that are close to us. They're people that we randomly meet at the supermarket. They're everywhere. They're in our workplaces. So I think that we have to accept that. But what we have to do is say, to what extent can I control or navigate, rather than control is probably a better word, my exchange with this person? And, you know, one of the things that I found is, because I am an empath, I'm sympathetic. So if someone starts telling me about their problems, I'll be there like half an hour later. That would happen to me at work the whole time. You know, I'd be there like at the water cooler or in the kitchen 45 minutes later, like listening to them complain or moan. Oh my God, it's my desk. It should be like, oh my God, I'm so drained. You know, like I don't feel good at all. Like now I've got to get some of the energy to do my work. And what I realized was I didn't need to take on everything that they were saying. I didn't need to engage with it, and I needed to learn to shut it down a bit quicker. So rather than it being a 25-minute conversation, it could be a 5-minute conversation, you know? And it's just not allowing, giving, what an energy vampire wants is, without them even necessarily realizing, is they're looking to get something energetically from you. So maybe that's energetically dumping on you, and then they feel better, or maybe it's getting some of, you know, your positivity, your optimism, your healing energy. There's a lot of that that goes on as well, right? And so when you realize that and you recognize that, you have to say to yourself, well, if I'm constantly drained after an interaction with this person, or I feel really negative about, you know, I've had a lot of pessimists in my life, right? And I'm probably like the most optimistic person you'll meet. It's like, if I'm around somebody who's really pessimistic, I'm not going to talk to them about the specific thing that they are really going to be pessimistic about, because it's just going to dampen my optimism, which is my truth, right? My truth is that the glass is half full and that anything is possible. So I'm not going to talk to that person over there about this specific thing because it doesn't serve me. And if this person is complaining a lot and bringing my energy down when they're complaining, then I'm going to limit their complaint. You know, I'm going to limit and shorten the conversation so that it doesn't go down that road. Or if this person is looking to me as a kind of unpaid therapist, then, you know, I'm going to train and I'm constantly helping. Or, because they can be our friends sometimes. It could be the friend that you're always lifting up, that you're always having to give the pep talk to. It's like, yes, that is a part of friendship, but if it's like a one-way street, that's an energy vampire situation. So then you have to look at it and say, well, you know what? I have to put boundaries in here. And I have to sort of say, okay, so anyway, so talk about that. Okay, let's just shut that down. Anyway, so I'm doing this weekend. And, you know, bring that balance back in. And if they're not getting the message and they're still trying to keep down that one-way street, you realize that that's a relationship that you have to really pull away from. But I think our feelings, you know when you're around someone that's good energy. You just feel it.
100%.
Good, right? I mean, even now, like, we're having this conversation, and it's like, I get you. I get where you're at, and your kind of energy. You know when you're having that kind of engagement, energetic exchange with somebody, and we also know, similarly, the opposite, when you're in an energy exchange with somebody and it's not good. And I think the thing is to just acknowledge that, observe it, don't absorb it, and then go away and go, okay, I need to be a little bit careful around that person. Because we're sensitive human beings and we can't help but be influenced by our surroundings. So if we're constantly surrounded by negative people or energy vampires or complainers or pessimists or people who lack boundaries, that's going to have a detrimental impact upon us. And that doesn't serve us or anyone else.
Absolutely. And I love that advice. Acknowledge, don't absorb. That's perfect. So I'm really curious, since you are around a lot of different people, especially when you're coaching and you do your sound baths and things like that, how do you keep your energy up and in good vibrations? Like, do you have certain rituals or spiritual tools that you utilize?
Yes, so great question, because I will be completely honest, back in the day when I was sort of, you know, really open working and seeing a lot of clients, I found it really difficult sometimes energetically because I didn't have great boundaries. So one of the things that I've learned is A, boundaries. You know, my clients are wonderful people and some of them have become friends over the years, but ultimately it's a professional relationship, you know, and I need to kind of keep it within the boundaries of a professional relationship so that there is a distinction between the personal and the professional, even though I know that there's a kind of crossover in some ways. It's just like, you know, I found myself sometimes doing a session that would go half an hour over. I wasn't getting paid for that half an hour. And it was just, you know, friends of mine who are other coaches are saying, like, oh, I have the clock on, and when I'm done, I'm done. You know, why should you be doing half an hour over? And so I had to realize from that, like, nope, I can't do that. You know, when the session's over, the session's over. So it's major boundaries, also huge amounts of self-care. I mean, if you, I think you follow me on Instagram and you'll see that I really do, and I've only really learned to do this since getting married a couple of years ago, which is major self-care. You know, I do take care of myself. I hike, I do yoga, I meditate, I do morning pages almost every morning. I go to my friend's sound bath, so I receive as well as giving. I have massages. You know, I do all these luxury, like, very pampering things for myself, because I give a lot to other people, and I recognize now that, you know, the more I'm able to receive, and the fuller my tent, the more that I can share with others from a healthier place. So it's a combination of all of those things. It is, as I'm sure you know, you've gone through the experience, which I'm looking forward to hopefully soon, of motherhood. I think it gets really hard for us ladies, because we're wearing a lot of hats. A lot of us are, you know, entrepreneurs, we're working, or we're employees, and we're also daughters, we're sisters, we're in-laws, we're wives, we're mums or mums-to-be. And I think that when you wear, the more hats you wear, the harder it becomes to look after yourself. But it all begins and ends with you. So if you're not in the right place energetically, if you, you know, haven't received, how can you possibly show and hold space for other people? So boundaries and self-care are like my two, my husband knows it, my entire family know it. It's like, I'm like gangster about those things now.
I love how you really prioritize self-care, and I love all of those examples, because you're right, like, getting massage is definitely one of the more luxurious things that you can do, but you also talk about hiking and eating well and going to, you know, other people's sound baths and things like that. Those are really helpful ways to fill up your cup.
Absolutely, and you know, I think that's the thing, is filling up your cup, exactly, you just said it sort of beautifully, is it doesn't have to be, listen, a massage, and I'm lucky I collaborate with some companies, so I get a lot of things, you know, as an exchange, or, you know, I'm like, they're sponsoring you in some kind of a way, but it doesn't always have to cost money. Do you know what I mean? You can do, there are things that you can do either for free or on a low budget. I mean, my husband laughs, but I'm like, my favourite thing to do is to hike, and that doesn't cost me anything. And I get so much out of going hiking. It really is a workout. It's good for my mind, body, and soul. Or just sitting with a cup of tea and listening to one of my own sound baths, because I do put out my own sound bath on my iPhone with my headphones on. I mean, those things are just little things. That some of the things take longer. Going hiking as a whole 2-hour performance. We have to drive there, hike, come back. But, you know, having a salt bath can take 45 minutes. Listening to one of my sound baths can take 15 minutes. Taking time to like Palo Santo and journal for 10 minutes and close my eyes and not look at my phone for a while, 10 minutes of my time, you know? And another thing that I would put in there is, I do think that I found screen time last year. I discovered it. Oh, I was probably very late to the game. But when I discovered screen time. I hate it.
Right. So it's been
what
an eye-opener. Yeah.
Right?
100%.
I didn't realize how much time I was just, you know, I'm in the car at traffic or in the line waiting for a coffee or here they're scrolling, like on Instagram, looking at this website, looking at this thing, whatever. And when I really saw how much time I was spending on there, I was just like, yes, part of it is for my business. So, you know, I have an online, but multiple online businesses now. So, yes, I do need to be online. But I just made a decision that my phone would shut down at 10 p.m. till 8 a.m. almost every morning. Sometimes that changes if I go to bed early or I wake up at 6. But basically, I don't look at my phone. You know, it shuts down so nothing is available for me, so that it forces me to really shut down as well and wind down to sleep. And that when I wake up in the morning, I mean, I did do this morning, I will admit, but it's because we had our podcast recording as well. But I do not look at my phone at first. I normally don't look at my phone for at least 45 minutes or an hour, or sometimes even an hour and a half after waking up, because that, to me, is like the worst way to start your day. And I know that that's not realistic for a lot of people. They're going to work, they're families, they need to look at their phones in some kind of a way. But I think that we're all too connected to our phones, and I think that that increases this feeling of anxiety, that we're not doing enough, that we're not enough, we can end up comparing ourselves, we have FOMO. There's just a lot in there, and having a great boundary with the phone can, and with, you know, the use of it, and even being online or being on social media, can actually allow you to have a better relationship generally with all those amazing tools and modalities.
That's such a great boundary that you set. I know when I first had Elizabeth, I was, and it, you know, she was born in October, and I was breastfeeding, and newborns breastfeed, they eat every 2 to 3 hours. So I was literally always sitting on the couch feeding her, so it was just easy to grab my phone and look at it. And, you know, and then it was winter, so we were stuck inside, and, you know, I'm looking at my phone more and more instead of going outside and going for walks, obviously, because of the weather. And now that she's at that six-month-old range, me and my husband noticed that, like, she'll go and grab my phone or his phone, or if I am breastfeeding her and I pick up my phone to look at it, she looks at me, you know, and she looks at the phone, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, she is so aware of what's going on. I don't want her to see me always on my phone. So I've been, you know, making it a conscious effort to just, you know, leave it in the other room when I'm breastfeeding her or giving her a bath or, you know, just so I'm very much present. But it's just so crazy. You don't realize how much time you, you know, check your phone, or how it's really a reflex almost sometimes. You just grab it, look at it, and you're like, wait, I just checked this, like, 5 minutes ago. There's no need.
Yep. There's no need. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I do think it's a little bit scary with kids, you know, and the digital age that we're bringing up children in with that exposure, because you're teaching them. I mean, we as adults and as parents are going to be teaching them what is, you know, how things are done. So if a little one, and you see it the whole time, and listen, I'm not, you know, I don't want to sound, I'm not a mum yet, so I don't want to sound like a mummy shame one.
No. You got to lead by example.
You've got to lead by example. And I also worry about sort of, you know, when I see a toddler, and I get it, I know that sometimes like they're screaming, it's just like easier, but I worry seeing a tiny toddler holding like a 5G phone, sitting in their pushchair and scrolling and doing whatever, because I'm like, what are the based from the phone doing to their development? I mean, it just,
mind. Literally, when I, even when she was little, I was like, I hold the phone in my right hand far away from her body when I'm looking at my phone, because I think the exact same thing. I'm like, I don't want these near her brain, near her body. I know these phones are giving off radiation. You know, we don't know the full effects of it yet. But we will in 10, 15 years when it's too late, you know, to be preventative.
Exactly. No, it is scary. And I think it's just something for us to all be sort of aware of. And you obviously are. You know, when my time comes, I know I'm going to be hyper-aware. I mean, my husband's very good with his phone. And he's better than me, put it like that. And he's really like, you know, I don't want phones at the dinner table. I don't want us to, you know, to have our family in that kind of a way. Like, I want it to be that we're kind of more present, and I think it's dangerous. So I think that's something that we're very hyper aware of. But I think it's easier said than done, right? Because all of us, I mean, you can go on a, you know, I remember being back in London and being on the tube there. Everyone's neck is down looking at their phones. You know, it's like no one's looking at each other anymore.
100%. I hate when my husband and I will get, like, a rare date night out, and we'll be out, and we'll see, you know, parents on their phones when they have kids at the table, or even if it's just the couple, and they both have their phones out. I'm like, you know, these are, you know, 20 years ago, they didn't have this issue, because they were forced to talk to each other and look at each other and make conversation, and now you can sit, you know, and have dinner and not even say a word to each other.
We it's funny, we just went to Santa Barbara for the weekend, and we saw a couple doing that, and it was kind of shocking. It's just like that, how can you connect? You know, we're so overly connected, yet we're disconnected, more disconnected than we've ever been. I think, again, I'm the queen of boundaries, only because that's what's helped me to have a better life, is by having firm boundaries. And sometimes the boundaries start with ourselves. So, you know, when I'm writing a blog or something now, I put my phone in the other room, because otherwise I find myself, it's such a, like you said, a reflex reaction, which kind of lands me scrolling halfway through a book. Like, how can I do that and then really write a blog that's really channeling insights that are for the highest good of everyone? It's like, it's got to be in the other room, you know?
100%. I totally agree with that. So before we wrap up, I do want to ask you if you can talk a little bit about your sound baths. And
yeah.
I know you have them available for online. And just maybe just like a little bit of an introduction to what they are, how they can help you, where they can find them. I've actually never gone to one before, so I was just thinking.
Hopefully you're going to come in June, right?
I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
That would be amazing. You have to come to one of my sound baths.
Absolutely.
It's so nice to, like, meet you and have you there. And, like, what an honor for me to have you at your, you know, to, like, host your first sound bath. So sound healing is basically like a meditation experience. And every sound healer will use a variety of different instruments, but those instruments are usually gongs, which are these big brass, you know, circular instruments that they'll play with mallets, and crystal bowls and chimes. And some people use a variety of extra instruments on top of that, depending on what their sort of preference is. And it's almost like you're bathed in sounds and vibrations. It's not music per se, but it is a kind of like improvised concept of the soul. Mind, body, soul, I would say. What's amazing about sound baths and sound healing is you don't need to be someone that knows how to meditate or that is into meditation to be able to receive the benefits of sound healing, because a lot of people find it very difficult to meditate and to get to that point of meditation where their brain waves are actually slowed down enough that they really access that deep relaxation, that their nervous system relaxes, that their brain waves slow down, like that delta stage even. And most people can't do that. I mean, people who practice meditation for years and have a regular daily meditation practice, who spend 45 minutes a day meditating, maybe they can do that. But not a lot of people have time for that or the desire for that. What's amazing about sound baths is, because of the sounds and vibrations, people fall into that slower brainwave relaxed state much, much, much quicker. So, interestingly, I've seen a lot of men who aren't really necessarily always the best meditators love sound baths. Why? Because they come and they get to that deep meditative state very quickly, and they walk out of there feeling so refreshed and re-energized. I mean, for me, I went to a friend's sound bath last night. It's part of my self-care practice. You know, I go to her sound bath like twice a month around the lunar cycle so that I can receive that my cup's full. I feel awesome the next day after a sound bath. Because why? Because I've just taken that time out for myself, and I've been bathed in sounds and vibrations, and it's allowed my brain waves to slow down, but I access that deep relaxation, mind, body, and soul. So, you know, there are a lot of sound baths that people can attend and go to. People, that different practitioners will practice in a different way. And I would recommend trying a few before you settle on someone that you're like, oh my God, love this person's sound bath, and I'm going to go to them regularly, because you could have an experience that's less than ideal. And I wouldn't want that to make somebody go, that's what every sound bath experience is like, because every practitioner does a different version of it. And also, sound healing has exploded in the last few years. So kind of everyone's doing it. And, you know, I don't mean that in a horrible way, but with everyone doing it, their quality controls, sometimes, you know, it varies, right? With me, I do sound baths, astrology sound baths at Wanderlust here in Hollywood once a month, where I talk about the cosmic energies of the month ahead, and I give those themes of consciousness to people, and then I perform a sound bath. So they're getting that kind of insight, that consciousness, that theme to work with for their meditation experience, and then a beautiful curated sound bath with planetary gongs, crystal bowls, and chimes. I'm a Reiki master, so there's Reiki flowing in the room. It's a really wonderful, beautiful, unique experience. But I also record sound baths in the same studio that I record my podcast in, and I release those to my membership, to my Soul Astrology members, and I also share them on my newsletter periodically. Normally, like once a month, I'll share a new sound bath for somebody to listen to, which is for free. They don't have to be a Soul Astrology member. and they can just listen to it, and it's normally aligned with what's going on that month in the cosmos. I love sound baths. When I went through my spiritual awakening back in 2008, which I got it like 11 years ago now, that was a big part of my healing. It allowed me to access these parts of myself that suddenly realized that, oh gosh, I'm not doing what I'm meant to be doing. You know, this life as a lawyer, living in London, very fancy media, kind of like it's just not me. And this is not what I really want. It's not really filling me up, mind, body, soul. And from that realization, I was then able to heal and to align further. And then I loved it so much. I was like, oh my God, I want to have this as part of my offering. And now that is a big part of my offerings. And it's something that, you know, we have a room. I have a healing room in our home, which has all the gongs in, which is kind of crazy that they have their own room.
But yeah, that's really cool.
it is wonderful, and it's a big part of my life, and I think it's just going to continue to be a big part of my life. So I would love if people want to, you know, listen to one of my sound baths, then they feel free to, like, join up to my newsletter. I do send one out once a month, and they can listen to it. Listen with headphones in, because it really allows that experience of the sound going through one ear and coming out the other. You feel like your brain is being blocked.
That sounds so powerful. I love that.
Yeah, it really is. You've got to try it and hope. But in person is even better, because that's just, like, luxurious.
Oh, I gotta find my way to LA this summer.
You really have to, Erica. I feel like you're meant to be here. I think it'll be, you know, if you're building out your brand and doing all your things, I think it'll be really awesome, and we will definitely have to hang if you come out here.
100%. So would you mind sharing with everyone where they can find you on social media, where they can find your sound baths, where they can find your podcast, all the details?
Yeah. Well, I'm at Alchemy Andy on Instagram. So that's Alchemyambi at Alchemy Andy on Instagram. My website is www.alchemywithandy.com. And there you'll find, like, some of my blogs, a little bit more information about me, my kind of, like, monthly alchemy journal that I write about things I'm using in my own life to help myself. My podcast is on iTunes and Spotify. It's just called Alchemy with Ambi. And for more on Soul Astrology, you can look at alchemywithambi.com, but we're actually launching soulstrology.com as well. And actually there's some free readings that, you know, just for fun, that you can access on there. And in time to come, you'll be able to purchase more details, like natal charts readings or transit readings to tell you what's going on in your unique chart in the cosmos. But also, if you wanted to become a Soul Astrology member, then that's all available on those two websites, alchemywithambi.com and soulstrology.com. I love to chat on Instagram, so definitely, it's funny, I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram. Big boundaries coming in last year, I know, actually really love it. So definitely come find me on there and say hello.
How exciting for all the new updates. And I actually wanted to tell you that I really love your My Journal section of your website. I actually went through.
Thank you.
Yeah, I went through and I pulled some books that you recommended and things like that. They're sitting in my Amazon cart. I've got to make my purchase.
Oh, I love that. You know, it felt like to me a nice way of sharing, like, you know, sometimes it is books and things that I'm actually using or products I'm using, but it's also sometimes just like what happened to me this month that was a transformation, and to share that with people. And I love, I'm actually, my next one's going to come out probably by the time this episode comes out, my latest one will have come out, and there's some exciting things going on, so I'm excited to share all that with everybody.
Awesome, I look forward to reading it.
Yeah, thank you, Erica.
Of course.
I hope to see your things grow as well, so I'm excited for you.
Aw, thank you. So I do have one last question for you.
Uh-huh.
And you probably know it's coming. So what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ooh, ginger.
Oh, that's everyone's favorite. I swear that's a fan favorite.
I swear. I mean, ginger, lemon. Yeah. Just, I'm a ginger. I'm a citrus girl. So ginger is, you know, anything gingery is just like my favorite.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are such a joy to connect with. I feel like we could have talked for like 3 hours.
Yeah, totally. Well, maybe we'll talk again in time to come in the future on it. And I am holding space and the vision for you to be in Los Angeles in the summer. I'm seeing you at one of my sound belts.